and read 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 19. The Bible says here, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing here, Lord, in North Ridgeville. And thank you for just the great lighthouse of this church is here, but also its effect around the world through missions, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing with our family, Lord, in Mexico City. I thank you for what you're doing in the whole world, Lord. I believe that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back soon, and I just pray you'd help us all to be faithful to what you call us to do, Lord. For those who are here tonight, Lord, I just pray you bless them and bless your word tonight. May we leave tonight more like you than when we came. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I like this story of the Apostle Paul, again, a great missionary, and he did a lot of great, great things. Amen. And as I think about myself and my family going to Mexico City, when I went to Mexico City, we're on our first furlough, so our first term down there. When we went there, I had learned some things about Mexico City. I knew what I thought was all of God's will for us down there, and for the most part, it's still true. We were going down there to reach that typical Mexican person. When you think of a Mexican person, I don't know what you think about. Oftentimes people think about the sombrero, you know, and the poncho and all that. There's some of those guys down there, but the typical Mexican person in Mexico City, they're short folks for the most part, dark hair, they're mainly Catholic, amen, they're hard workers, that type of people. That's who we were going down there, amen, to reach those people. And we've done, by the grace of God, that we've been successful to reach a lot of those people. But I had no idea all the other opportunities that we would have in Mexico City. I thought that was the goal, just to reach those people and plant churches for those people and all that. And that is what we've been called to do. That's what we'll continue to do. But as we got down there, I began to realize there's so many more opportunities that I'd never had a clue about. Amen. And as I read about the Apostle Paul and I think about how effective the Apostle Paul was in reaching people, I believe the reason the Apostle Paul was so effective is because he wanted to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest missionary, like I said, came and made a great impact in the world. And what a blessing it is that the Apostle Paul was very successful too. And I believe the reason the Apostle Paul was so successful is because of what he says here in verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Servant unto all, that I might gain the more." When we went to Mexico City, I was thinking about being a servant, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving that typical Mexican person, amen. But what a blessing it is that since we've been down there, I've realized that there's so many other opportunities that we have. And I want to just share a little bit more of those with you tonight and look at the Apostle Paul and how he dealt with people as he was here. One of the greatest services that you and I can do as a servant is to share the gospel with people, amen. We help people in Mexico. We try to help them and not educate them, but we try to get them thinking right and doing right after they get saved and things like that, amen. But the greatest help that I can do, the greatest help that you can do, the greatest service as a servant that we can do is share the gospel with people, let them get saved, and then God will begin to work in their life and change your life. But the Apostle Paul, he's talking about some of the people that he dealt with here. And he says here in verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, "Unto the Jews became I a Jew, unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." The Apostle Paul was talking about how he became as a Jew unto the Jews so that he might win some of the Jews. And the Apostle Paul knew the Jewish religion very well, and he knew their customs and their beliefs, and he wanted to reach the Jews, and so he became like as a Jew. He talked to them on their level and their understanding and what they knew about the Scripture, and he was effective with dealing with the Jews. And when we went to Mexico City, I had no idea that there were 50,000 Jews in Mexico City. I didn't have any idea that there was one Jew in Mexico City, much less 50,000. And the bulk of these 50,000 live 20 minutes from where we live in Mexico City. And I just had no idea. And I know a little bit about Jewish religion, and I know some of those things, but I wasn't quite prepared for seeing Jews on a daily basis as I'm ministering to that typical Mexican person. So I begin to pray, God, now what is this going on down here? I didn't know these people were here, and God, do you want us to try to do something, and how do we do this? And I just began to tell the Lord, I'm here, I'm a servant, I want to do what you have me do, but you got to help me if you want me to try to reach these people. And so we began to pray about that, and God made it clear that along with church planning, a ministry of the church is to reach the Jews. And so we learned more about how to reach the Jews, and we began to reach the Jews. Now, with the Jews, it's different. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism, okay? I believe our lifestyle should back up what we say we are, amen, but I don't think you can just be a good person and people get saved. But with the Jews, it's different. You do have to befriend them, and you have to let them know that you care for them. When you tell a Jew that you're a Christian, what they think is that you're a Catholic, and you're one of the people that killed the 6 million of their family members. That's what, when you say I'm a Christian, that's what they automatically think, and they just shut you right off. Or you tell them that they need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior when you meet them, and they'll just shut you right off. You can't approach them that way. You have to tell them that you love them and you love their people. You're praying for their people, and you have to talk about the Old Testament and the prophecies and the Messiah, who he would be and how you'd know he was the Messiah. We begin to meet with a lady called Victoria. Every week we'd meet with her, and sometimes I just thought, man, this is really going nowhere. I mean, you know, just meeting with her, and she's still where she was. But we begin to talk about the prophecies and the Old Testament. Victoria, her husband's name is Jacob, and her son's name is Isaac. And I mean, they're all Bible names, amen. And so it kind of made it easy. We begin to talk about those characters in the Bible and who they were and how they lived, and talk about the prophecies of Messiah. And as we met with her week after week after week, amen. One week, probably about, I guess it's probably about now 3 months ago or 4 months ago, Victoria said, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And for a Jewish person to say that, that's a big, big deal, amen. And then just a couple weeks later, Victoria said, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. What a blessing that was. And I had no idea, but the Apostle Paul said here that he wanted to be a servant unto all men. And the Apostle Paul was used, of course, to reach the Jews. And God is using us to plant churches for that typical Mexican people, but also to reach Jewish people there. Victoria's opened the door for us for lots of other Jews, and we were meeting some folks down there. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity. Now, her name, Victoria, I don't know if you know this, Victoria in English would be Victory, okay? And she was named Victoria or Victory because her parents survived the Holocaust. And they moved to Mexico City. She was born there, and they named her Victory because the Americans won the victory, amen, and named her Victory or Victoria. And that's how she got her name. But we'll have a wonderful opportunity reaching the Jews. And then the Apostle Paul goes on here to talk about, in verse 20, he says, unto the Jews became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. And he says, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. There's lots of people in Mexico City, apart from the Jews, that try to keep the law to be saved. I mean, there's lots of Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons in Mexico City. I knew that there were some. I had no idea there were so many. I mean, in Ohio here, we have a lot of Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons. But man, we got down there, and I started seeing these folks down there. I thought, man, this is crazy, all these people down here. And so we began to pray about, you know, just sharing the gospel with them so they get saved. And there's a family up in the mountains. The lady's name is Anna. They lived up in the mountains around the edge of Mexico City. They didn't have electricity or, of course, internet either. But she would come down to this internet cafe and do some little research from time to time. And Jehovah Witnesses, they can read the Bible as long as they read equally the Jehovah Witness literature. They can read the Bible, but they have to read that nonsense too. But she began to read more of the Bible than she did that literature. And she began to realize that what the Bible was saying was different than what her literature was saying. And she wanted to learn more about the Bible. So one day she got on the internet cafe, she typed in Bible believing church, Mexico City, whatever, and she found the church, amen, started coming to the church, and she learned a whole lot more about the Bible. She got saved, amen, her first Sunday at church. The next Sunday she got baptized. The third Sunday her sister came, got saved. The fourth Sunday her sister baptized. Now there's about four or five Jehovah Witnesses families, amen, saved because we just asked the Lord to help us, amen, to help us to reach those people. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He became a Jew to the Jew and under the law as to those that are under the law. And I want to tell you tonight, folks, as a Christian, praise the Lord for what you're doing, and praise the Lord that you're knocking doors, like Pastor said, and soul winning and all that. But you know what? Sometimes we limit God because we are comfortable with a certain type of person, amen. If it's a white American my age or whatever, I'm pretty comfortable with that. But sometimes we don't like dealing with kids, or sometimes we don't like dealing with old folks, or sometimes we don't like dealing with the real rich people or the real poor people. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll kind of narrow our vision and we'll miss so many opportunities because we're not open to be a servant unto all, like the Apostle Paul's talking about. But if we ask the Lord tonight just to help us to expand our vision, to broaden our horizon, to help us see more and more opportunities, God will give us more and more opportunities to give the gospel to different types of people so that they can be saved. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He says, unto the Jew and to the one, those that are under the law, verse 21. Look what he says there in verse 21. He says, for them that are without the law, as without the law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Now, the Apostle Paul talking about those without the law wasn't talking about, amen, going to the bar and drinking on a little beer so you can witness to the guy. That's not what he was talking about without the law. What he was talking about is the need to have a heart to reach those type of people, amen, to reach them in a godly way. And I tell you what, you see a drunkard in the gutter, and it's easy to say, what a shame, what a pity, and just leave them there, amen, or to see all kinds of people who are lawless people and leave them to their own. But God would have us to reach even those people who are a lawless people, amen. And the Apostle Paul was talking about how he was effective at doing that, to reaching those that are without the law in Mexico City. Lots of, shouldn't surprise you, okay, but lots of lawless people in Mexico City, amen. Mexico City has the highest population of police to civilian, I think, in the world. I think one policeman for every 100 people. Now, that sounds real, real good, except when 90% of them are corrupt, it's real, real bad, amen. We're always getting pulled over, and they're always saying, hey, give me money, or we'll take you to jail. Give me money, or we'll take your car. I mean, they're so lawless, those policemen, and it's sad. When we drive in and out of Mexico, they have the federal police, and a lot of times what they'll do, or sometimes what they do, is they pull people over a checkpoint. The police say, they pull you over, they plant a gun in your car, and when you get to the next checkpoint, they say, hey, you got a gun in your car, it's illegal to have a gun in Mexico, and they arrest people that way. It's just, they're lawless people, but a lot of the policemen are. The military is the same way. The military has their checkpoints, and as you pass through, they'll stop you, they'll search your car for drugs, and what they have done before is they'll plant drugs in your car, so when you get to the next checkpoint, they bust you for drugs. I mean, it's a lawless place, Mexico City is, and yet God wants us to reach those type of people. We had just recently a man that we reached with the gospel who was a cartel member. A cartel member. We gave him the gospel and he got saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. A lawless person is, I mean, it's sad. I won't tell you how gruesome those cartels deal with people down there. It's really sick and sad how they deal with people. They don't regard life at all. And yet, though, these people need to be saved too. Now, that's not the top of my priority for my ministry. Amen. Reaching the cartel. Amen. That can be a very, very dangerous. But you know what? If God brings somebody my way or brings people like that across our path, we ought to want to try to make a difference in their life. Give them the gospel so they can be saved. And so, his name was Marilio. He was in the cartel now. He's a baptized, believer. Amen. His wife got saved. And just because we asked the Lord to help us to be a servant to all people, and God's bringing people like that our way. A lot of other people in Mexico are lawless people. I think about alcoholics. Big, big problem in Mexico. I don't know how it is that people can be so poor and yet find money for alcohol, but they do that. I mean, in Mexico City, I mean, drunkards everywhere, and it's sad, but it's true that that's what goes on up there. And there's a guy named Lupe, Guadalupe. He was in the video. We call him Lupe. He was a drunkard, and he was a brawler. He would get drunk, and he'd want to fight with everybody. I mean, that's just the way he was. But you know what? I began to go to his house once a week, and I witnessed to him and talked to him. And one day, I went to his house. He just went in the door. Amen. I went in right behind him, knocked on the door, caught him. I said, hey, Luke, let me talk to you for a little bit. And I began to share the gospel with him again. And after a while, he started to just kind of tear up and soften up a little bit. And I said, wouldn't you want to trust Christ as your Savior? Don't you realize you're going to burn in hell? Aren't you sick of your sin? And he said, I'm sick of my sin. I want to get saved. And Lupe got saved that day. Praise the Lord. I turned around. I was walking out the door, and his nephew, Rafael, was there. And his nephew had two bottles of moonshine. Amen. And they were about to do like they always do and just get drunk. And I told Rafael, I said, you know what? I said, Lupe, you know what? He did something very special. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, let me tell you what I mean. Okay. And I began to witness to Lupe as he was holding those two moonshine bottles. Amen. And he said, I need to get saved too. I need to trust Christ my Savior. And Lupe got saved and he got rid of those bottles. Amen. And it's amazing how lawless people, amen, I need the gospel. Amen. As we're faithful to share with not just the people we're comfortable with or not just that traditional person. Amen. God gives us those opportunities. We had another guy, his name was, Raimundo. We call him Ray, Raimundo. And he lived in a, He lived in a what we would consider like the Alcoholics Anonymous building. He was the custodian, and they let him sleep there, and so that was where he lived at. And he would kind of clean up things and set up for the meetings, but he was a bad alcoholic. And one day I was talking to him, and I said, "Well, you know, tell me about this place that you stay at." And he goes, "Oh, well, this is where they had the meetings to help people with alcohol, and they're very good. They let me stay here, and they're very, very, very good people." I said, "Well, how's your problem with your alcoholism?" He said, "Oh, I'm just a drunkard like I always was." I said, "Well, how are they helping you if they're so good and you can't get the victory over this? How is it that they're really helping you?" And he said, "Well, what else can I do?" I said, "Well, let me tell you what else you can do." And I began to share the gospel with Raimundo, and he got saved. But just a lawless people, I mean, people who are just wrecked their lives, and yet God loves them and wants them to be saved. And if we would ask the Lord to help us to broaden our vision, to broaden our horizon, and want to reach as many people as we can, God would give us opportunities with other type of people to reach them with the gospel. Just like the Apostle Paul. A servant in all, the Apostle Paul said. And the Apostle Paul continues to talk here in look at what it says in verse 22. In verse 22, the Apostle Paul said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. You know, there's a lot of weak people in Mexico City. A lot of people with really serious problems in Mexico City. There's a million orphans in Mexico City, if you can imagine that. 1 million orphans. Most of them live on the street. They don't live in an orphanage. And it's a very, very sad thing, honestly, to see a kid just left to their own, and to see a million kids left to their own. And so as we begin to pray about that, God gave us an opportunity. There's an orphanage of girls, and we begin to visit those orphans, and they begin to hear Bible stories and hear about the gospel. And a lot of those who've got saved, amen, and praise the Lord. Some of them baptized now, and it's just a blessing to see such a weak person as a child left to their own, and yet God cares for them and wants them to be saved. And as we've asked the Lord to help us just to be a servant, He's given us opportunities like that to see orphans saved, amen. Also, you saw in the video, Chucho, Norma and Eduardo, they have this little son, and he's 9 years old, and he has cerebral palsy. And for all of his life, his routine every day is to lay on the bed for hours and hours and hours and just to look at the ceiling. That's his life. He can't move his body. I think his mind is okay, but he can't move his body. He just looks at the ceiling day after day after day until somebody picks him up and gives him some food and lays him back down. But that's his life. And my wife said, "Mike, he's such a weak, innocent boy. What can we do for his cerebral palsy?" I said, "Mary, I'm not a doctor. I don't know about these type of things." And she said, "Well, we could pray about it, right, Mike?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, we can pray. I mean, I still don't know what to do, but yeah, I guess we can pray about it." As we began to pray, my wife began to call around. She found in Guatemala a place where they manufacture wheelchairs, and they happened to send some of those to Mexico. And we called to find out where in Mexico they send these wheelchairs, and they said, "Well, Mexico City, that's where we send them at." And so I said, "Well, wow, that's just close by." So I called, and they said, "Yeah, bring the little fella, bring all his measurements and things like that, and bring him, and we'll custom fit him in a customized wheelchair that'll fit his body, and we'll help his health and all that." And so we did that, amen. And this wheelchair cost Chucho and his family, cost us a grand total of $0. I mean, what a blessing that is, that God cared for Chucho and his family. And we got back home with Chucho and his wheelchair. The neighbors, you know, you don't see a lot of wheelchairs in Mexico City. And they said, "Wow, where'd that come from? How'd that happen?" And this one lady said, "You know, I have a daughter who's 11. She has the same problem. Can you help me?" And so the best help we knew of was the gospel. So we gave the gospel to her. She got saved. Dulce got saved. Amen. And we're working on getting her a wheelchair. And I'm just saying, this was an opportunity that I had no idea that was there. But I just wanted, with God's help, to do all I can to serve people and to be a servant. Again, the gospel is the greatest way we can serve people. And as we've done that, God's opened so many doors. And I just praise the Lord for that. But I just want to tell you tonight, for you folks here, praise the Lord for what you're doing. But if we're not careful, though, we'll limit ourselves. We'll serve people. We'll witness to people that we're comfortable with. And there's some folks that we don't like to deal with. Amen. But I just want to encourage you, like the Apostle Paul, to be a servant to all people, that we might by all means win some. But he goes on to say in verse 24, look here if you will in verse 24, or I'm sorry, verse 23, he says, "And this I do, being a servant unto all," he says, "and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And this I do, being a servant to all, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm doing this for God's glory, for the gospel's sake, and I'm doing it because you and I are working together." It's what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians here. And let me just tell you tonight, these people in Mexico City who are getting saved, you're a part of that. You are a part of that. You say, but Mike, I've never been to the place. How am I a part of that? As you pray for us and as you support us, God helps us to reach those people that you probably never see. Unless you see the video, you never see those people. But God's using you in places like Mexico City. Praise the Lord for that. What a great economy it is that you get to be a part of reaching people in a foreign land. You know, for every Jew that gets saved in Mexico City, part of that goes to your account. I mean, that's a good economy that God would credit you, amen, for a Jew getting saved in Mexico City. For every cartel member that gets saved in Mexico City, my friend, part of that goes to your account. Even though you've never been there, because you're obedient to God, you're praying for us, you're supporting missionaries, and God's doing a great, great work, you get account for that. For the lawless people that get saved, for the weak people that get saved, all those orphans and all those people with physical needs, as they are reached with the gospel, that's credited to your account. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying there. He's saying that we're a partaker. He said, I'm a partaker thereof with you. And so I want to thank you for what you're helping us do. And I want you to realize what you're doing, my friend, is you're reaching the world through your missions program, through your faith promise. And part of that is accredited to your account. And so be encouraged by that tonight. But don't just be encouraged by that. Realize God wants to use you here to not just reach those people you're comfortable with, but reach other people, reach all types of people. God will give you that opportunity. If we, like the Apostle Paul, desire to be a servant unto all. In verse 24, he says here, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. The Apostle Paul said, don't you know that the people that run races, they want to win, amen? And my friend, you and I, we want to run our race well as a Christian. We want to do well. We want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And my friend, I tell you, though we can't see the finish line yet, I don't believe it's very long until we're done. I think we're on the last lap of our race. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has come back soon, and we want to finish well. So I just want to encourage you, my friend. This thing that you're doing, my friend, this thing that you're doing about knocking doors and passing out tracts, inviting people to church and praying for people to get saved and supporting missions, my friend, stay with it, my friend. Stay in it. Do all that you can for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe our race is almost run, and when it's run, my friend, it's over with, but we still have time to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 25, let me just stop with this. Verse 25, he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The Apostle Paul is talking about how they would run the races. Back in that time, it wasn't the Olympics, but it was something similar to that. And the winner of that race would win a olive leaf crown. What a blessing to have a olive leaf crown. You know what would happen after a couple of days? That thing would dry up and it would be worth nothing. You know what's happening in our world today? There's people, Americans and all over the world, people going after things for satisfaction. I mean, big houses and big cars, and there's really not anything wrong with those things, but people think that there's a satisfaction in having more and having bigger, but my friend, there's no satisfaction in that. It's just like that old wreath. After a while, it's really worthless. But you know what matters? It's when souls get saved. That's for eternity. That's an incorruptible crown. That's a reward that you will see, my friend, for all of eternity. Not are you just getting credited for it now, not when souls get saved in Mexico City, are you just getting a credit now. My friend, you'll see that for all of eternity. What a blessing that God will allow you and allow me to be involved in seeing people saved, and it's for eternity, my friend. And so just want to encourage you tonight to realize what you're doing through missions counts a lot, my friend. And as the Apostle Paul was able to ask the Lord to help him to reach more and more people, as he prayed to be a servant to all, I believe it's applicable for our lives that we ask the Lord to help us to reach all the people that we can, every type of people that we can with the gospel. It's so important. And my friend, as we do that, it's something that will last for eternity. It's something that pleases God. You know, the Bible says that when a soul gets saved, it says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. You know who's in the presence of the angels of God? God himself. God gets excited when people get saved, my friend. And God's excited for what you folks are doing here, for what you're doing with missions, and for your part in it, amen, and what you're doing here locally, my friend. So I just want to encourage you tonight, ask the Lord tonight, if you haven't asked him already, to help you be a servant unto all. And if you would pray that prayer, you mean in your heart, ask the Lord to help you be a servant to more people. God will send more and more people your way that you never have thought about or never even considered an opportunity to reach these types of people. I'm just saying, ask the Lord to help you, and he'll bless you to continue to reach people here and in Mexico City. And when our race is over, my friend, I'll be so glad to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him say, well done, again, faithful servant, for us serving other people like some of the people in Mexico City. So just want to share that with you tonight and encourage you about that tonight. And in closing, let me just say this tonight. If you're here tonight and by chance you're here and you're not saved, it's not chance at all. If you If you're not, you're not sure about your salvation, not sure if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven, let me just tell you, that was the best day of my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And when Jesus died on the cross, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, it is finished. And he didn't mean his life or his ministry was finished. He meant the payment for your sin and my sin was finished that day on Calvary. Nothing else had to be done. Nothing else could be done to save our soul than what Jesus did that day. So if you're here tonight and you're not sure about being saved, Jesus came to save sinners, my friend. And I'm so glad he did that for me 27 years ago, my friend. And he can do that for you tonight if you're not sure about it. But for the rest of us, my friend, I just want to encourage you, my friend, keep doing what you're doing through missions. Amen. Keep supporting missionaries and praying for them. Thank you for what you've done for us. And my friend, that's being accredited to your account every time a sinner gets saved. But my friend, here, there's so many opportunities too. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to ask the Lord to help you. Help you even more to reach more and more people, more and more types of people. And like the Apostle Paul, that we would desire to be a servant unto all people. So I just want to share that with you tonight.